Now we will go around the NHL, brought to you by Herber's Auto Body. We did the last segment. Now we got the phone line hooked up.
Aaron Portsline, good friend of the show from Columbus, joins us.
Aaron, when I was looking at schedules and teams to start the year, I looked at Columbus's, not only their first 10 games, but really their first 20 games. I was like, man, they got like the worst schedule in the National Hockey League, and I thought they'd be out of it before the season began. But Bobrovsky standing on his head, their power play and penalty kill are lights out, and they're 5-3-2 and have played pretty good hockey.
They have. I mean, I can't fault you, though. You've just applied what you've learned from this team in recent years. They're known for terrible starts, and this is sort of an, I don't want to say an aberration, but they have gone the other direction this year, where I think they, for many people outside Columbus and certainly in Columbus, where expectations were fairly low, they have exceeded them in the early going and may just be okay this year. The Foligno's gone. As you mentioned, Bobrovsky's going. And certainly the power play is not going to kick at 40% all year. Certainly the penalty kill is not going to be 90% plus all year. But there's some pieces, parts here that would make you think this could be a pretty good team and maybe surprise some people.
Now, you know, it's tough for have a power play to click at 39% the full season. So obviously that's right. Eventually going to go down. But I was watching the Columbus game, and right now, like, Wenberg's looking like a wizard on the power play for them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's come a long, long way. Point of game guy so far early in the season, and is really quietly elevated up to that number one center spot between Saad and Foligno. That's been a soft spot on the roster, certainly since the Johansson trade. They brought Gagne in. They don't like Gagne in the middle as much as they like him on the wing. So it's really important that Wenberg has emerged as that guy. But they do their power play is a pretty fun thing to watch right now. It's a 1-3-1 setup. Zach Werenski, the rookie defenseman, has really helped breathe some life in it too. But you're right, Alexander Wenberg, his growth as a playmaker and just as a viable offensive threat has been a big, big boost for them early.
Sam Gagne from, looks like early on anyway, for a short time, kind of maybe rejuvenated himself in Columbus. How has he looked outside of the stat sheet?
Yeah, you know what? He wasn't great early and was sat out a game as a healthy scratch. Since then, he had a meeting with John Tortorella. Since then, I think they have arrived at the conclusion that he is best on the wing.
Okay.
And it's kind of an interesting situation. He's played on the fourth line here. But his number, he moves up in the lineup at different parts during the game, especially when they're down, and he draws first unit power play time. So his numbers have been buttressed in that way. Scored a huge goal against them to steal some points from Dallas a week or so ago. Big win for them. They scored late in regulation and ended up winning in overtime. That's not a game that they win in last year or the season before. And that's a big goal for them. And he has been very productive and has become, it looks like he could be a steal at $650,000 a year for a one-year contract.
Aaron Portsline joins us from Columbus. Aaron, the Seth Jones injury, we talk about them playing well, though. Now, that's a huge blow to that team. And their stretch of games doesn't get any easier. As I mentioned, like the next 10, they just kind of went through the top dogs, and now they continue with Anaheim and St. Louis, Capitals twice, Rangers, Tampa Bay twice. So Jones looks like he's out for the rest of the month, 3 weeks where they play all those games. Do they have any depth, do you feel, to at least fill that void admirably?
I think they can get by. I mean, it's a huge – he leads the team in ice time. He's a big part of everything that they do. He's really taken a big, solid stride forward here in his first – what would be his first full season in Columbus. I think he's really embraced a leadership role, which he did not have the opportunity to embrace in Nashville, when you think of those great defensemen that he was behind. He's done that in Columbus. It's a big loss for them. Now, Werenski has shown himself to be NHL capable and then some. So he, of course, remains on the first pair. I would sense that Ryan Murray perhaps moves up there. Maybe David Savard moves to the right side of Werenski. That would be a more natural fit. It's going to take a task on them. Now, Jack Johnson is a guy that's eaten really big minutes throughout his career. I would suspect he'll see an increased role Can they get through? Yes. Will it be easy? No, because Seth Jones has become a really vital part of this team.
Aaron Portsline joins us. Columbus Blue Jackets 5-3-2 to start the season. And John Tortorella, you know, we kind of saw him at the World Cup, not endearing himself again to hockey people. But it's been an extremely quiet first month of the season for John Tortorella.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Was it him or the failure of the Team USA up there? That
yeah. Well, I guess kind of, you know, people really looked at how they picked their team and, you know, what they said about the guys they had, and you're kind of like,
it was a disaster. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how honestly I don't want to. I mean, he had a great rant today against. Not that I'm coming in on one end or the other, but he had a great rant today against Corsi and Fenwick and the so-called advanced stats. Not a believer in him, but in some ways he there's been a, I don't want to say a renaissance man. I don't want to get too carried away here, but he has engaged the defense on this team and told the young guys, get up there, make mistakes, just work your butt off, and I'm fine with you. And he'd be mighty pissed off if he heard someone say that he's dialed it back a bit. And he was more angry than I expected him to be after the loss in St. Louis. But I think he sees the process here, and he sees the landscape of where they're trying to go rather than just today. Like, I think with the Rangers, that was a today team when he was there at the end. And I think they, with such a young team here in Columbus, I think they still see – and I think he sees this as the process of going where they are expected to go. But he'll get back to his old self soon enough. You can bet on that.
One player who has come in and just been exceptional on their back end is Zach Werenski's 10 points in 10 games. He's been a wizard on the power play and really moving the puck exceptionally well. Like, I know they were high on this guy, but were they no one could have expected point a game.
Yeah, I think you're fair to say that. They were really pleasantly surprised with what he did with their AHL team late last season. And what a stroke of genius that was. He signed a tryout agreement.
Yep.
So the year didn't kick in, right? So he goes to the AHL team, and he was, that's the one thing. I mean, they were excited to win that, but they were just thrilled with the fact that the best players on that team were the young players. And Werenski was the best player on that team. I know Bjorkstrand won he scored really big goals, but the one player you noticed outside of the two goalies was the Werenski kid. And what he does that is so rare and so special is he never looks at the puck on his stick. He never looks down. He's always surveying the ice, and he sees, he's not taking snapshots of the ice. It's a permanent view. So he sees stuff before it's going to happen. And you can see he grew up with the Red Wings style of hockey. That's what he immersed himself in, both the coaches and the playing style. But it's right there for him at all times. He can make a snap decision, and he's a really, really gifted player.
He's had a great start. One player that many people expected more from has not, Boone Jenner. No goals in 10 games, 2 points. He's minus 7. What's up with Jenner?
Well, put Brandon Dubinsky in there, too. They've both been offensive disappointments. No way around that. No points, two assists, both heavily minus. And they, you know, Tortorella has put them on a line with Cam Atkinson and waited and waited and waited. They've gotten by without them. And until that changes, I don't think they really thrive. But, you know, because the Saad, Wenberg, Foligno line has done so well, it's covered up some mistakes. And the power play as well has masked the shortcomings of those players.
Like, when you look at Boone Jenner, like, this was, like, so many people are high on him, and it is only 10 games, so it's, you know, you're not going to go crazy over, but what has he not been doing this year that he did last year when he scored 30 goals?
Yeah, well, I think the one thing that burdens him is now people are expecting 30 goals, and it's so much of what he did last year was the down-low garbage goals, the rebound putbacks, the deflections, the ugly yeoman's goals. He's on the second power play unit. He was on the first for much of last year. The other thing, too, is the first power play unit, we talked earlier about how good they've been. Look at how quickly they've scored in so many of those games. I think 8 of their goals have been within the first 30 seconds of the power play, which is the joke is that it's hard to find. Nobody knows what the second power play unit is in Columbus because they never take the ice. It's always over. And so Jenner, I don't think, has had that many opportunities. But the game has drifted a little bit from him, and Dubinsky as well, where they've guys go through this. If it's the middle of the season, maybe you raise your eyebrow a little bit. It's the start of the season, so it's magnified. He'll get there. The sense is they need a bounce. Both these guys need a bounce. And here's something else for you. Jenner, Dubinsky, Atkinson have all played on the same line. They have 2 assists, all 3 of them, 2 assists total at even strength. All of Atkinson's productions come on the power play. Jenner and Dubinsky have an assist each on the power play. They have been absolutely invisible 5-on-5.
And, I guess that's good news in a sense that 3 of your guys that you were expecting a lot of offense from have yet to come awake, and they're still playing quite well. And one guy right now early on that's filling that void is a 4th-round pick from 2012, Josh Anderson, who leads the Jackets with 5 goals in 10 games.
Which is utterly amazing. Not that I didn't think he was going to play in the NHL. I've been high on this kid for 3 years now. But if you watched him play in the preseason, you wondered if he was going to go down. You wondered if he was going to be sent to the AHL. It just wasn't there for him in the preseason. His legs weren't there. The season starts, and he has been there. Maybe their most, outside of Foligno, outside of Wennberg, maybe their most consistent player. The size, the speed, he has the potential to be a dominating forecheck player. I think this is a goal outburst from him that is not going to be sustained. I don't see him certainly as a 30-plus guy, but he is an impact player, and they like what they're seeing early from him.
Well, I was looking at his numbers, and he's one of those rare guys who has actually produced better at pro, really. He had 18 goals in the American League. Like, his best season in junior was 27 goals and 51 points in 59 right. games when he was a 19-year-old, right? So it's rare to see guys like that then get to the AHL and have a 40-point season in 58 games. He's a huge kid at 6'3", 220 pounds. Does he play that big?
He does. And honestly, that's been the challenge. That has been the hurdle for him sticking in the NHL. I don't know that it's unusual. It makes sense to me. But he's one of those guys that has come to the NHL, and in his first couple of tastes of it, the last year and the year before, there's been a sense of awe. It's lining up during a faceoff and thinking, my God, that's Patrick Marleau. My God, that's Patrick Kane. I think he's gotten beyond that. He's just playing. He's dropping his shoulder into whoever it is in front of him. And that's how they wanted him to play. You can tell people to get through it and get over that. It doesn't happen until the player himself does. I think that's the step that he has taken. He's not awed by this experience whatsoever. He's just playing. And a guy with that speed, that size, who knows his game, he's going to be an impact player.
Aaron, as always, great to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you again soon, and enjoy the remainder of the month to see if the Jackets can continue to surprise, especially against some of the best in the NHL.
Awesome. Jason, thanks for having me.